There's no better place to get all your Big 12 conference news than the Locked On Big 12 podcast, hosted by Josh Neighbors. Follow the Locked On Big 12 podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are Locked On Sooners, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Sooners Nation, and welcome to the Locked On Sooners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is John Williams. You can follow me on Twitter at John9Williams. And joining me today, we have a very special guest. He was a two-time first-team Big 8 selection, two-time consensus All-American, winner of the Lombardi Award as college football's best lineman, and part of the 1985 National Championship team for the Oklahoma Sooners. But we also want to mention, because I'm a Cowboys fan, that he was a part of two Super Bowl wins with the Dallas Cowboys. And joining me today, former Sooners great Tony Casillas. Tony, how are you doing, man? Thank you so much for joining the show.
Hey, John, brother. Hey, thanks for having me. And it always just amazes me when you start reading a person's resume, how far ago, it seems like the time, how far away it's been, but it seems pretty relevant when you start talking about some of the things that you're involved with. But nevertheless, man, I enjoy following you on Twitter. And again, brother, thanks for having me today, man.
Well, it's like I said, you know, before the show, it's as a Sooners fan and a Cowboys fan, it's an honor to be able to talk to you. I mean, part of some great teams over the course of the 80s and 90s, and just synonymous with fantastic defense. And so I'm really glad to have you on the show to talk Oklahoma Sooners defense in particular. But before we look ahead to what's coming, let's talk a little bit about the 2020 defense as well, because it was much improved from previous years under Alex Grinch. But moving forward, what is something that you saw from that team in 2020 that you felt like they needed to improve upon going into 2021?
Well, I think in 2021, they're going to be more experienced. They lose a key player in Lonnie Perkins. But, you know, go back to 2020. It's all about, you know, Alex Grinch kind of putting his thumbprint on this defense. I think anytime you come from a storied a place like Ohio State, where he was a defensive coordinator, and in Oklahoma, where you want so many things to happen on defense, get better, there's this amount of expectation. So I think what we saw at the end of the season is, you know, they have some depth on the defensive line. I think that, you know, for me to be able to put together a really good defense, especially in the Big 12, where it's all about throwing the football and just different situational, you know, whether you have you know, the first or second down defensive lineman on the field or just a versatile guy that can play all downs, is trying to find that core players. And I think that's what we saw at the very ending. When you look at the Cotton Bowl and you look at even the Big 12 championship, there became some consistency with players on the defensive line. Obviously, Nico Benito is a tremendous edge rusher. And then you add Isaiah Thomas. I think you really saw how effective those guys could be on the edge. And now I think it's all about getting some consistency inside with your core interior guys. But I think, like myself, as a former player that played at OU and really as a defensive guy, it's pretty promising. And I'll be optimistic about what the 2021 season may lie ahead, just because of just those things they're able to do up front. And I think when you have that, it's pretty infectious when it comes to your secondary and your back end play. But I mean, Alex Grinch and Ohio State, they've always had great defensive linemen. You had the Bosa brothers, and you had obviously Chase Young. But that's the main component, I think, of any defense where it starts in the front seven, especially when you have depth in the defensive line.
And when you watch the spring game that just happened just a few weeks back, what was it that you saw in that game that might give you some confidence or should give Sooners fans confidence for what's coming in 2021?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, John. You really don't get too much. I think when you watch a spring game, and I'm not trying to sound like it's something that's unnecessary, because I think in spring football, I think it's more behind the curtains on the field during practice and trying to get the young guys reps and trying to find out where you're at. And I think when you watch the spring game, it was great to see the fans come out. You know, there's more people at that spring game than it seemed like there was during the pandemic. So it's good to see the excitement there. But, you know, I think for them, offensive line wise. I mean, going into a season, the biggest question mark is who's going to replace Creed Humphrey, a center that's been there as a mainstay, and you lose your outside offensive tackle. I think that's kind of the question mark inside. But I think when a game like that, it's all about it's very vanilla. They don't show a whole lot. But I think it's just more to get the reps. It's kind of more to – I think in spring football, as I mentioned, it's all about getting those on-field reps, letting guys that are younger that hadn't had the reps, guys that are coming off injuries, guys that may have opted out from last year getting experience, like Jalen Redmond, guys getting back, and really just trying to let them find out and get the reps on the field. And Lincoln Riley's not going to show a whole lot during spring football. I mean, it's more like a flag football game, and they want to get anyone injured or anything like that. But I think that's kind of the question marks you had going into spring, the spring football. But, for me, it was all about, you got a chance to see the quarterback, Williams, the freshman quarterback. I mean, he's obviously a spectacular talent, but, all in all, I think it's just all about just seeing what you're going to have and really just trying to find out those question marks and find the guys that are going to replace the guys that you lost in 2020.
And as we do look ahead to 2021, it does appear that the strength of this defense is in the front four. We started talking about it a little bit ahead a bit ago with Nick Bonito, Perrion Winfrey, LaRon Stokes, Jalen Redmond, Isaiah Thomas up front. This is just a really deep unit across the board. What does that do for the rest of the defense when you have guys that are as productive and as explosive and dynamic up front that they have going into 2021?
I think you just want consistency. And I think when you have depth and you have guys that are consistent, that are playmakers, it really you got to complement each other. I always a big proponent of not compromising a part of the defense or any part of your team with something that's not as strong. And I think as a defensive front, people don't understand the value of that. And not just because I'm a former defensive lineman, I just understand how it takes so much pressure. And as in the Big 12 and, offenses that are just all about moving the football and getting as many plays and really just getting and catching the defense out of position. I think this defensive front, and I think the narrative too is like when you go in and you see how this team is ranked this year, number two, I think it was by USA Today. I just read that today. And we're doing this podcast on Tuesday. Is that it's a defensive front is, and the defense is a strong point of something to get excited about. And I'm not trying to sound negative, but it's been a while since that's been the narrative. It's always been the offense, because offense is going to put numbers up. I mean, that's what they do. But I think when you have the defensive players in place, experience especially, that is an important thing. I think that when you bring players in, you have to develop them in a certain aspect of it, whether it's defensive backs, whether it's a linebacker, defensive lineman. You got to be able to develop them. And when you get guys that you're bringing back, six players on that defensive front from last year, or the depth that you have, that really creates a lot of consistency and confidence. And I think that when you start teaching a philosophy and you get them for maybe 2 or 3 years, seems like that's eternity in college football.
Right.
But when you're able to coach them up and really teach them the fine arts of technique, then that really creates some fruition to that. And I think that that's what I really like about this defense. I'm not going to go overly crazy, but it's good to be optimistic because just as I mentioned, the players that we mentioned, I mean, these guys can play. And anytime you get guys that are coming off the edge, it can create pressure and sacks and disruption. And then you got guys, a three technique inside can create disruption. And you got your defensive backs. I mean, that's the thing about it is like in these type of offenses that when you play, you got to be able to again, complement each other. And that starts with trying to get the quarterback off his mark and hopefully making a bad decision and being able to, capitalize on pressure, and then guys in the back end that can go, create, get turnovers created by the defensive front.
Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. It's easy to eat and is 100% covered in chocolate. Again, it's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. They've got 9 great flavors, including coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, mint brownie, and salted caramel. There's something there for everyone. And the best part about Built Bar is not only does it taste great, it's great for you as well. Most bars have anywhere from 17 to 18 grams of protein, only 4 or 5 grams of sugar, 4 or 5 net carbs, and anywhere from 130 to 180 calories. Great for a keto diet, perfect for meal replacement or to help you bulk up. Built Bar is the protein bar for you. So go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. That's LOCKED15 at builtbar.com.
Yeah, exactly. And if you have a defensive front that is as good as these guys are, then you're not having to send extra rushers to disrupt the passer, like you mentioned, because in the Big 12, it's all about the passing game. And if you can't disrupt the passing game, your defense is going to struggle. And if you have to send extra guys to do that, then it's going to put a lot more pressure on your back end. And I think you mentioned it there. It's playing complementary football. If you can rush forward and get pressure, that's going to be huge for this defense moving forward.
Well, yeah, John. And look, you want to dial up a blitz. I mean, that's great. But if
every once in a while,
But it's more when you have guys like Perry and Winfrey and LeBron Stokes and Zayden Redmond, and when you just mentioned Isaiah Thomas, and you got Nico Bonito coming off and really getting pressure, you don't have to do that. You got more guys in the back end, and I tell you what, whenever your offense, you know, the opponent's offense, and you're putting pressure with just 4 guys, I mean, all of a sudden it's like, you know, their head starts spinning. They start thinking, what are we going to do? Because we got 4 guys. And then, you know, when they wouldn't look for mismatches. But when you got 7 guys that are able to cover, you know, to be able to sit back in coverage, whether it's zone, whether it's man-to-man, whatever you're doing, and you're just being able to do it with 4 guys up front, and especially, you know, the circumstantial, whenever down and distance, then that really, really adds a lot to their defense and really creates a lot of problems for an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think Isaiah Thomas was the guy that I really loved watching emerge last year, because not only was he disruptive in the passing game, but he was as well in the running game too. He was one of those guys that was creating splash plays just throughout the whole game in every situation. And so as we look forward to this year, who's a guy that you can kind of look at on the defense that you think may emerge in a similar way to Isaiah Thomas last year?
Well, I think Redmond's kind of an interesting guy because he got injured in 2018, and then he opted out of last year, if I'm correct. And so I think that he's got a chance to be a playmaker. I think that when you get a guy that's really learning his game and had a few years to kind of sit back and really just kind of get healthy and kind of absorb some of the knowledge that you're trying to teach these guys. And I think it creates a lot of confidence. And I think he's kind of an interesting guy because you want a guy that can play a three technique, you know, a guy that's more of a one technique that plays over the center. That's great. But we know in these offenses, it's out of shotgun, it's coming out, and you want guys to be able to play off blocks. So I think he's kind of an interesting guy because of just what he's had to battle through. Perry and Renfrey is definitely a tremendous guy. He's a fast, disruptive guy. I mean, we talk about Neville Gallimore, but I think that he's got a lot of the ability to make plays inside and create disruption. And that's the thing also, is that you want guys that you're on the field that can convert. I mean, I think sometimes it's now – the way the offenses are now, it's just rush the passer, but then we got to convert to playing to run.
Right.
Because that's what these guys do. The ball's coming out, get off the ball. But as a 3 technique, you want a guy that can really just really get off on the rock, that first step burst, and then redirect whenever he sees run. And I think those guys, in watching them, they developed, you know, the lateral pursuit and allowed to be able to play down the line of scrimmage, but they can play on the other side of the ball. And that's what I like to see. If you're going to be able to create disruption, I want to see guys up the field creating havoc and really just disrupting the line of scrimmage. And so I think that that's pretty interesting to see what he can do. But I think as a whole, I think to get all these guys back and really, and a lot of people think this is the best defensive front they've had in a long time, one of the strong under Alice Grinch, obviously, but in a long time, to me, that's very positive. And I really just want to see the finished product, how these guys develop. And again, not having to go through that pandemic off season where it's all about pandemic, you know, football studying. I mean, it's actually on the field and really, really understand it. And to me, that helps out a lot too.
Yeah, absolutely. The on-field work is going to make such a difference in a lot of these guys' development, because the mental reps, they're important. But for me, like I'm a do it kind of a learner. Mm-hmm. Like I need to actually do the thing. And so getting on the field for a lot of these guys, especially a guy like Spencer Rattler, who didn't get a full off season last year with his wide receivers on the field doing the work, I think that's going to pay huge dividends for his progression this year as well.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. From baseball to the NBA to the NHL, BetOnline has you covered. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including UFC and MMA action. So before the next pitch, head on over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign up for bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prepare for their runs to the playoffs. Head on over to the website, sign up today, and receive your 50% welcome bonus by using our promo code LOCKEDON. That's 50% welcome bonus by using our promo code LOCKEDON at betonline.ag. Betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And now I want to talk to you about our friends over at Country Leisure. Country Leisure is a pool and hot tub manufacturer that has been in the business for 35 years. Experts in the industry, they provide fantastic customer service and high quality education to get you started on creating your backyard oasis. Are you ready to reconnect with your family and friends and get everyone off the electronics? Well, Country Leisure can get you installed in one day in most cases. Located in Moore, Oklahoma, they can get to anywhere in the state of Oklahoma. Are you ready to enhance your well-being and reduce body aches by owning a hot tub? Warm water helps to improve general physical state and can act as a stress reducer, and it can even improve your sleep. Own your wellness through hydrotherapy by contacting the folks at Country Leisure. That's countryleisuremfg.com, or you can call or text at 405-799-7745. Located off of I-35 in Moore, Oklahoma, that's Country Leisure at 405-799-7745. Country Leisure, just add water.
And you mentioned Neville Gallimore, and I do want to turn to the NFL now. And speaking specifically of Neville Gallimore, you know, he had a kind of a up and down first year. The Pittsburgh game was fantastic. He was just absolutely dominant in that game. I think it was Marquise Pouncey that he was up against, and he just was ragdolling him several times. But then he had a few games that were a little lackluster. What do you expect from him moving into his second season in the NFL?
I think he's going to be a big force this year. I think that he's a guy, as you mentioned, just really was able to absorb everything because of just the way the Zoom teaching football.
That's not how football's played, right?
No. There's such a disconnect there. But everyone had to do it. And some people figured it out and some people didn't. So all 32 teams had to handle the whole ordeal. I think a second year under his belt where – And you know this, John, there was a lot of the discombobulating things that happened on that defense and Mike Nolan and just really kind of what they were trying to implement. And I think it was kind of at times mass confusion. But I think Neville is really, you know, Dan Quinn is going to be good for Neville. He's going to be good for a lot of these defensive players because he's a guy I'm sure you've seen on social media, he's out there teaching techniques, rip techniques up the field. He's actually coaching, which is something they weren't able to do last year. But I think he understands that. And I think Neville is a three technique. He's a powerful man. He's athletic. He can play on the edge. And I think that's his forte. And I think once he understands that that's his role, they'll have a one technique. We'll play on the shade on the nose. But I think for Neville, his athleticism. And I when I watched an OU, the dude could just – he can move. I mean, he's a guy that weighs 305, 310, and he can move like a cat. But I think there's a transition from the first year to second year that you see a lot of different players make. It's kind of like Tristan Hill. I think Tristan Hill, they drafted, and – that first year was kind of like, okay, the guy that fell asleep during meetings when Isaiah Thomas was giving him as a motivated speaker, but he's kind of moved on. So I think those two guys especially are going to get a lot of the reps of the three technique, but I think Neville is unique. Again, size, athleticism, strength, and really just plays hard. And I think this is going to be a really kind of a breakout second year, if you call it. But he's going to be a playmaker. And quite frankly, they need a guy like that because they really, you know, that's been a question mark in some time when the defensive front is really trying to get guys inside that are consistent and can be playmakers. And at the end of the day, I mean, I saw him. He looks like he's a lot bigger now. I don't know if it's just the Dallas Cowboy, the white uniform. But I think he's going to be fine. I mean, he's going to be coached up. And I really like Dan Quinn. I think he's really going to be a difference maker, not only for Neville Gallimore, a lot of those players in defense, but as a whole, that defense is going to be a lot better.
Yeah, you mentioned the transition that Neville Gallimore had to go through. And that's difficult for most rookie defensive tackles coming into the NFL. There's a bit of a transition that has to take place, kind of getting used to the increased physicality playing on the interior. And then also going from playing at Oklahoma, where they were playing him a lot more as a one technique, to going to Dallas and playing more as a three technique in a one gapping system. I think you're right. Those transitions do take place, and having the on-field work this year with Dan Quinn and being able to kind of do what he does best. And that's just use his athleticism and his quickness to get up the field. I think that's going to be huge for him.
Yeah. I think the technique aspect of moving the transition, I think from college, and I think that it's not a knock on Oklahoma, but I just really haven't seen that phase of it in some time where it's technique. And I think it's just more like we got to have enough bodies out there. We got to get some pressure, but we got to do kind of like gimmick blitzes and everything else. Mm-hmm. And really there's not much technique involved in that, but that's what seems like that's kind of the trend in college football. Some places, but when you take someone, it's almost like it's a project, and not to say Neville's got and all these defense linemen have a lot of capability, but then, you know, the speed and everything that happens in the National Football League. And there's an aspect of it, like, yeah, I'm fast, I'm big, I'm strong, but what am I going to do with my technique? I'm going to understand the game. Right. And I think that's more of a component in the National Football League. You mentioned earlier, the mental aspect is probably, as you get into the game, is 60%. 40% is physical, but after a while, you're like, okay, let me figure this out. Let me slow it down. Let me understand it. Let me just, the muscle memory is a key component of it. And I think when you get into, when you get a good coach in the National Football League, because I think some of them aren't the best, but sometimes it's different guys. I mean, some guys need more coaching. I mean, that's just the way it is, right?
Right.
So you take a guy like Neville, you coach him up, give him good technique, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, this is a lot easier.
Yeah.
All of a sudden I don't just have to run into somebody or to go by him. All I got to do is just make one step, one hand, one placement, and wow, this is a lot easier. And once you hit that stride, I mean, it just makes the game so much easier and really, really just slows it down.
Yeah. And I'm really excited for him. I think he's the guy that's going to kind of break out in 2021 for the Cowboys. And let's talk about another Sooner that just went to the NFL, has a new landing spot, new team, and Ronnie Perkins joining up with Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. And I got to tell you, that was of all the Sooners that were drafted, that was my favorite landing spot because of the way that Ronnie Perkins plays. They're going to love him in New England.
Yeah, I think Ronnie has a lot of upside. And I think I think when you go to a system, a culture like the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick, because it is a culture, it's a Patriot way.
Yeah.
And I think Ronnie, it's probably going to be a good place for him because the reputation is that there's a lot more accountability there, just the way Belichick is. And I don't know. I have never played for Bill. I think he's a tremendous coach. So it may be different. But by all accounts, it's all football. I mean, if you're a football player, you got to be professional. It's more profound there, it seems like, than anywhere else, okay?
Right.
So I think Ronnie, I think it's going to be a good place for him. I think he's got a tremendous coach. And, what I've heard, what Belichick said about Ronnie – is that he's got a lot of capability in their system. And he's a guy, you know, they run a hybrid type of, 3-4. And so I think he'll fit well in there. And as I mentioned, just like Neville with Dan Quinn as a new defensive coordinator, if you're a guy that's really wants to go to a place and learn from the best and be mentored by the best, the greatest coaches, I mean, you couldn't land in a better place than the Patriots, right?
Right.
Because Belichick is that dude. Yep. So I think he'll have success there. Cause I think Ronnie is a tremendous player. I think he had, the issue of being suspended for what, 6 games, but I think once he gets past that and this really just focuses on the mental aspect of playing football along with the Patriot way, I think he's got a bright future ahead.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it's going to be really tremendous. I think the Boston kind of community are going to really enjoy just the effort that he gives every single play and like the ferocity that he plays.
Yeah, he brings it. He plays with a lot of reckless abandonment, and he's relentless, and he doesn't take plays off.
Right.
And that's the kind of defensive players that Bill Belichick likes. And that's the defensive players that all defense corps like, guys that just don't, they play every play. They don't take, it's not 1-4 ratio playing a snap. So yeah. That's a good fit for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And one more thing before we let you go there, Tony, how excited are you to see Nebraska back on the schedule?
I'm really excited. That, to me, when Nebraska decided to go to the Big Ten, and there's so many teams there, but that's the brand, the Big Ten. I was just like, I'm not going to see that Nebraska Oklahoma game or back in the late in the, this. When it was back in November and it was like oranges being thrown on the field, you're not going to see that anymore.
Yeah.
So now you're going to see that. And I think it's more for me and some people that remember that. I mean, the Big 12, they played, how it's been, what? It seems like it's been forever since they played the Nebraska, Ndamukong Suh,
right.
And they played the Texas in the Big 12 championship game. It's been forever since they've done that, but man, I'm just glad because it just represents football, man. Mm-hmm. You got Nebraska, you got the Cornhuskers, and you got the Sooners, and there's so much history to that game,
right?
And it's gotten away so much, and now it just seems to me they belong together. I mean, that's always been a marriage that when you look at a divorce, and when they left the Big 12 and went to Big 10, it's like it's not the same watching them play.
Yeah.
Because I remember him playing Oklahoma, being in the Big 8 and the Big 12. So I'm excited about it. I think it's great for football. It's great for Nebraska. It's a good measuring, I guess, stick for them to see where they're at, mm-hmm. and how far they are from Oklahoma football. But, man, and to go to Lincoln and then play there, I think the players really understand and really just understand the culture of what it is to have back then at one time where it was a hell of a rivalry and something that at the end of the year they played for. So I'm excited about seeing it, man. It's cool.
Yeah. I was really excited when they made that agreement and came to, decide to have that series again, because it's just, it of all the teams that left the Big 12, a decade ago, it seems like that was the one that was the biggest loss, I think, for Oklahoma in particular.
Yeah, I think because there's so many people that it was a storied rivalry or storied game for some. Got the game of the century. I mean, it goes back to all these different, different decades. It's a generational type of game that goes into different, different decades. Whether however long you've been out of it, but people still identify with it because of just the history of it. And so it's good to have that back in college football. In football, because sometimes you get away from it. It seems to me sometimes it just becomes all about business, about making money and everything. Yeah. So it's good to see some of that righteousness, the whole the Nebraska and Oklahoma playing. It's good to see that. It really is.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun come September and those two teams meet. But Tony, hey, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us here on the Locked On Sooner podcast. We really, really appreciate it.
John, anytime, brother. Keep it up.
All right, man. And that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you for joining us. Make sure you follow us on Twitter @LockedOnSooners and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Until tomorrow, I'm John Williams. Boomer, Sooner.
And today on the Locked On Today podcast, our local experts weigh in on who should win the MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, and Head Coach of the Year in the NBA. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.